We thank you for the power that's in them to accomplish great and mighty exploits for you, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
I could just make one more comment. They didn't call it Homosexual Day on the Hill, and they didn't call it Muslim Day on the Hill. They were under different names that were not real descriptive. But the irony is that the Muslims and the homosexuals had a table in the major hallway right next to one another. And
wow.
It's like it's, if the homosexuals only knew what the Muslims thought. But it's like an all-out onslaught. We have seen nothing but 10, 11 years of relative peace and quiet. It's not that they've not been there. I mean, it was when I say homosexual, it was a homosexual transgender situation, and there were men in dresses and, you know, the whole bit. It's like something's been released. It's like not anything that's good, obviously. So I don't know if you guys are noticing kind of the enemy stepping things up, but we've really noticed it here in Tennessee.
Hmm. I think it's definitely happening across the nation, and I know that there are many people praying and fasting. We're so thankful that you have teams there that are standing in the gap, and we will absolutely continue to be praying for these things. It's very encouraging to hear that the legislators are meeting 3 times a week. That is powerful. And we'll continue to pray that they will have strategy and vision, and that they would be effective in their mission.
Yes,
thank you,
amen.
Jack. Thank you. Thank
well, thank you, guys. Bless you all.
The update, and bless you.
I'll be signing off. Thanks.
Thank you. And Leah, go ahead, and I know you have a few updates, so I'll give you the
Yeah, just a couple of things to let you know about at the national level, congressional level. So you don't have to, I won't go into great detail, because you'll see many of these things in 2 pieces of email that are coming out this week. One, the American Prayer Caucus Network email that goes out to just legislators in the caucus, about 350 plus all of you, and then it'll also, parts of this will also be in the newsletter that's coming out. So I don't want to go into detail. I just wanted to draw your attention to the fact that the members at the national level, the Congress, are working on several things as well, and they're active in trying to write letters, pass legislation, and they're doing it in such a way, you know, that various members, not just one or two people, but a variety of members are sponsoring legislation. For example, the House did approve a measure that was Representative Chris Smith, who is a Republican, and Grace Meng, who is a Democrat, authorizing the Federal Emergency Management Agency to direct grants to houses of worship with that regard to their religious character, religious use. And that was a big deal, because that was something that was being done sort of underhandedly. Also, members of Congress that have introduced the Health Care Conscious Rights Act, and that's basically the HCCRA offers full exemption from the, you know, HHS mandate for individuals and health care entities that refuse to provide, you know, health care because of their religious beliefs. Just a couple more, and again, I'm not going to go into detail, because please feel free to read about these in more detail. And the reason, again, you might want to read these is just to know what's going on at the federal level and suggest ideas at the state level. They can use these same kinds of tactics. And then 154 members actually wrote a letter urging the Obama administration to reverse a mandate that a religious employees would require them to violate their conscience. So they asked the Obama administration to do that, and then 60 members of Congress wrote a letter to the Defense Secretary regarding implementation of the law that will protect religious liberty for service members. So they're writing letters, and then this last one, the HHS, is we have to be watching and paying attention, because the whole point of this new HHS is that they can write the rules as they go. So they come up with new rules, they're being proposed, and they proposed 2 changes to the mandate slightly expanding the religious employer extension and providing some accommodation for religious institutions, higher education, and certain, you know, religious organizations. Very minimal, just barely trying to make room, thinking that would appease everybody. Of course, members of Congress proposed H.R. 1179 to protect against these changes and, you know, try to put a legislation in place. This has not been reintroduced into the 113th Congress yet for vote. So that's something that we can encourage people to know about, pray about, and even, you know, write their congressman if they want to. Now, I know you guys are working at the state level, so we're not asking you to necessarily do that at the national level unless you feel so led, but that's what we're doing with our database at the national level, is trying to get people to know what's going on there. But, of course, anything that happens at national can help and impact the state. So just a few things I wanted you to be aware of and know that they are taking great strides, and they're coming together in a bipartisan way, and they're really trying to make an effort at the national level, the Congressional Prayer Caucus. Any questions on those before I jump into a couple more quick things? All righty. Wanted to just discuss one little thing. I'm trying to remember if it came up at our last meeting, but we did have a situation where one of the co-chairs in Oklahoma, the Democrat co-chair, sort of had a bit of a change of heart, was influenced by some folks, and started to actually stand up aggressively, not just voting against religious liberty legislation, but actually began to lobby against it, even standing up on the floor and being on the opposing side of religious liberty legislation. Was very confusing and frustrating for many of the members of the Oklahoma Prayer Caucus, and of course the state director and citizens too were wondering what in the world, how do we move forward in unity when one of the co-chairs is actually opposing religious liberty legislation. So I talked to the other co-chair, the Republican co-chair, Sally Kern. We had a great conversation. It got to the point I encouraged the state director, who was watching all this, that this really is an issue that has to be taken up by the chairs of the prayer caucus. And so if they needed more conversation, for the chair to call me, or I'd call the chair of the prayer caucus, they need to really deal with this at their level. She and I had a great conversation about this. And what I recommended was, rather than going to, because she's very concerned, and she brought it to a few of the other members, and they're all concerned about causing disunity, because they are praying together. They're praying together in a bipartisan way, and so about 10 or 12 of them, and so that's important. And how do we approach this and say this without disrupting the fact that we're actually coming together in prayer? And so I just encouraged her to have a meeting with the other chairman, and rather than saying, this is what the prayer caucus stands for, this is a problematic, I just asked her to pose it all as a question. Assume that this other prayer caucus chairman also probably has wrestled with this and sees the problematic stand. Just to say, you know, pose the question, wanted to just talk with you about your stand on this and how you are navigating both what the prayer caucus stands for and also your stand. Can you tell me what you're thinking and how you're sort of navigating these two? Don't put them him on the defensive, but let him tell you what he's thinking. He may actually already feel that he can't continue and hasn't known how to bring up the conversation, or he may have other things that we haven't even thought of that he's trying to say. So she's having a conversation with him this week, just taking a very new, you know, open-hearted posture, asking the questions, and seeing where the conversation goes without, you know, judging his motives or condemning his stance on that. So that's the way we always want to approach these things. Assume the best of people. Let them discuss what they're thinking, and let them come to the conclusion, if possible, by just asking questions of what their own, you know, how they may need to take action. It wouldn't be great if he stepped down. Well, I mean, he She's the only Democrat that has been willing to be a co-chair on this prayer caucus. So, but we talked about some other possibilities if he does step down of ways in which she can continue the bipartisan effort. So it was a good conversation, and we'll just keep you updated on that. Continue to pray for them because it is challenging at this level.
Leah?
Yes.
This is my quarter. Is this a little bit of a harbinger of Christians taking liberty with their proclamation of liberty? I mean, in other words, they're redefining it within themselves. Is this got a source somewhere in the homosexual agenda of marriage, or is there some reason why they're? And I'm only asking because I'm well aware that people will say they're Christian, they'll play with you, but they have different views, and I don't have that happening within our group yet. But I'm just curious about infiltration.
That's a really good question, Mike. In this particular situation, I got the impression it stemmed out of separation of church and state, which was sort of a puzzling thing. But, you know, he was kind of influenced, I think, that the wrong way, that separation of church and state, that the church really shouldn't, be involved in the public. And so he started to think, you know, these religious liberties protections probably not constitutional. And so he sort of got the church and state argument backwards, like so many have, and bought into that. So I think, you know, our deal, you know, it's hard to convince somebody that it's the other way around when they are convinced, somehow somebody important to them has convinced them otherwise. I think for him it was his father that started to talk to him about really church and state should be in place. However, that's one source. I do agree with you. I think there's probably three or four sources. I absolutely think the Muslim agenda is a huge factor, and people are going to be influencing, trying to influence prayer caucus members. I think the homosexual agenda, I think all of those agendas all work toward trying to break down anybody's resolve to stand for religious liberties and stand for Christians who are trying to be faithful to their, faith.
I guess I just thought that the definition of liberty, as signed by the chairman, was fairly a lot tighter. Just as a little bit of a concern that they could actually act as chairman and redefine, or somehow, if the definition is that loose, they feel comfortable operating still as chairman. I thought that we were fairly defined, but maybe not.
No, Mike, you have a really good point. It absolutely is well-defined. In fact, that's the conversation I had with Sally. I said, listen, you have to decide for your prayer caucus. The prayer caucus concept is very well-defined. Promote prayer, pray, promote prayer, protect religious liberty, and preserve our Judeo-Christian heritage. This is very, very clear, which is why she can say to him, this is what the prayer caucus stands for. Here's what you're doing. Can you tell me how you can navigate these two together? Give him the opportunity to explain how he could possibly go that route. What I said to Sally was, you for a state prayer caucus have to decide whether or not you are going to lower the bar for the prayer caucus and it be just about prayer together. And you're not going to fight the battle of religious liberty and Judeo-Christian heritage right now. Come back to that battle later once the prayer caucus gets solid again. But if you do that, that's going to be a different deal, and it's going to be very probably confusing to people who are fighting this battle with you. And she said, absolutely, I see what we're doing. I said, and by de facto, by letting this man continue to be the chairman, or by him continuing to be the chairman, by de facto, you are lowering the bar for this just to be about prayer and not the other two items. And I did make that point to her. And she realized that was happening by de facto, and so that when she has a conversation with this gentleman, she can say, here's where we started and what we are. How does what you're doing jive with this? And what are you thinking? In a nice way. So you're right, though. And if we just go to that point, I do think we have lost a very powerful piece of this. Connecticut is just trying to get people to pray together at this point. They're not even bringing it up, which is a completely different deal than having it brought up and then backtracking on it, which is what Oklahoma is being faced with. Connecticut is saying, we're just starting with prayer because we can barely get three people to even pray together. So the thought of even tackling the religious liberty thing seems impossible to us right now, which is appropriate. Great. Start with prayer. So two different things, but yes.
Okay.
Good questions.
Leah, this is Beth.
Yes.
I sent you in summer an email about our lone Democrat legislator, but we're running into the same thing. She got up on the House floor during debate over an amendment for religious liberties with civil unions so that it would protect adoption agencies, that kind of thing. And she not only voted against it, but she was in the well strongly advocating others to vote no on it as well. And so that's an issue that Scott Renfro and I, or Senator Renfro and I, will be working on soon. And a senator can invite a House member into their office and they'll show up a lot faster than they will to mine. So we're kind of letting him do the invite to the office and then find out where she's going with all of this. We just need prayer for that because we need to do it in the right spirit. She's been under attack a lot lately, and I just don't want her to think that Christians are lining up to attack her as well.
Exactly, Beth. And that really just does, and I think you're exactly right. Going at it with the right spirit and saying, we love you, we want to pray with you, this is what this mission is, how do you propose navigating this, and sort of let it go in their hands and let them explain how they think they can navigate both being a part of the prayer caucus and working against religious liberty. I mean, they have to, when it comes out of their mouth, they have to say, yeah, not really working. Now, the other thing, too, we have found at the national level that the leadership is considerably more important than members. Randy has had members that are Democrats that have been fighting against some religious liberty things. But he didn't really do that much about it because the leadership, all the core people that everybody thought of as leadership, were all in agreement and of one accord. And so they sort of let that go. And that person actually ended up bowing out of the prayer caucus of their own accord because they realized they're not in unity with them. So, you know, kind of have to just navigate these. And I think you guys are doing exactly right, Beth.
Yeah. Thanks.
All right, one more quick thing to just want to let people know that I'll be heading down to Arizona mid-May, be speaking at a prayer breakfast and also potentially some legislators and possible meetings with any potential state directors down there doing a little media radio program and things like that. So if you know of anybody in Arizona or any connections down there that you'd like me to reach out to, I'll be in the Capitol and also out to Prescott area. So looking for people to, you know, to connect with. I have quite a few contacts, and the lady who's bringing me in is setting up some things, but just wanted to throw that out to you as well. And that's it. Back to you, Summer.
Okay, great. Thank you, Leah. I appreciate you taking the time to really clarify some of those issues. I know that I'm sure it's very helpful to many of the state directors. Well, good. I just had a few things I wanted to discuss. I know that some of the states are wrapping up session, so I wanted to take some time and really just have each of you thinking about end-of-session strategies and or out-of-session strategies, and that would be potentially to meet with the legislators and come up with some ideas if they, you know, if they would like to move in that direction, whether it be prayer events, you know, if they want to maintain prayer out of session, how to go about doing that. We can set up a teleconference call if we need, you know, just trying to help support them in their effort at the end of session and out of session, really getting them thinking about what what they could do, including strategizing for the next session. So really trying to, you know, take a look at what kind of legislation would work in your state and moving in that direction so they're well prepared when session starts. Also ask them, I recommend asking them how we can better support them, how the state network can better support them, and discussing what that could look like for the next session. So those are just wanted to put that out there as some states again are wrapping up session and want to stay strong out of session if possible, minimally through prayer, and then even just thinking about, you know, strategizing for the next session. Beth, I know you had your prayer caucus there had a few different events that took place out of session. I didn't know if you had just a minute to give some ideas of what out of session options are available or have been done and have been successful.
We didn't do anything last year because I was on a campaign and we didn't want to muddy the waters at all. Going in and holding town hall events, it's kind of a cross between a prayer meeting and a town hall. People like that a lot. And my goal is to set 5 or 6 of those up off session and see what we can do and do them in districts further out in the state. So I'm basically going to start looking for some funding to be able to do that. Our state's big. Gas is expensive. So that's one of the main things that we're going to do. The Capital Commission that we work with, Dan File is the person here in Colorado. They've built a service where you get an email every day with a couple legislators' names on it to pray for them. So we're trying to just get into churches and pray, let pastors know that this is going on. That's going to be the big thrust is trying to get into more churches. And we're looking at, along with CitizenLink, getting some help from them. You know, I go in with the whole prayer thing, and then CitizenLink will come in if a church is wanting to do like an adopt a legislator. And we're trying to do it with churches that aren't that legislator's home church. And we want to do this for all legislators, just so that they are loved and cared for by some Christians, not just receiving emails saying, don't vote that way. But the town hall prayer meetings, and they're becoming, town halls here in Colorado are becoming more and more effective for the legislators. They're getting bigger crowds out than they ever have before. And so I think that's where we're going to concentrate a lot of our time on doing those again and getting more of those set up.
Okay, I love that. The Adopt a Pastor has come up actually in Oklahoma. Adopt a Legislator has come up in Oklahoma as well. And that does seem like a great initiative, including having, you know, not only having these people praying, but encouraging them, sending them letters, and just, you know, whatever that looks like to let the legislators know that they're supported and prayed for. I love that. I think that's really good. And making the effort to get into churches and making, you know, getting in front of them with this mission, encouraging them to do that, that's a wonderful thing. Thank you for that, Beth. And the town halls also is great. So the legislators actually go to different locations around the state. They discuss prayer caucus issues and then also have a prayer meeting?
That's basically it, yeah. They give their own personal testimony and how that relates to why they decided to go into office, how it relates to their activities while they're in office, that kind of thing, and then spending time praying for them, but also praying for the state and all our elected leaders. And I'm going to try and ferret out who more of our Christian mayors and school board members, anybody that's elected, I'm going to be out there on the hunt for those, and I'd like to bring them in to these prayer town halls because I think people need to see that we need to be praying at all levels for these folks because all the decisions aren't made in the legislature. A lot of them are made by other elected officials as well.
That's so good. So good. Well, we'll be praying for that effort and that and energy and everything you need in order to be successful there. That's great. That's very helpful. Thank you for that. Does anyone have any questions on that or any other ideas that you would potentially like to see happen or that have been recommended to end the session?
Beth, I have a quick question for you. How much does it cost to do one of those town halls? What when you say raise money, what does that look like?
Gas money.
Gas money?
Mostly, yeah. I mean, because we can do this in churches, so that's not an issue. Gas money, a little advertising, possibly money. We're going to try and do as much free as we can with advertising. But then any kind of handout, that kind of stuff. That's basically the kind of money that we need to get to cover this.
Gotcha.
When you think about Colorado, from where I am to some of the places in Colorado is an 8 to 10 hour drive. And
right.
So hopefully I'm going to be able to find people that can do those in their area so that I don't have to go to all of them. But right now I don't have people in the really far counties.
Great. Thanks, Beth.
Okay. Great. So basically at the churches you just ask for, or they offer to do like an offering? Is that the main way that you're looking at raising funds?
You know what? I'm not quite sure. I'm kind of going back and forth on it. Do we look for monthly donors? Do we look for one time? Do we look at churches? Do I go out and aggressively draw money, donations from large donors or get on missionary budget, that kind of thing. So we're working on trying to figure out what to do about that.
We'll be praying for that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Thank you for all of your efforts there. And I want to give you a little more time to discuss what's going on in Colorado. But one thing I wanted to mention, Mike, was there anything really quick that you wanted to add or any ideas, any questions about the end of session or out of session strategies?
No, we've got some ideas we're going to put in place. We have a May 9th meeting for one thing, not a meeting, but a rally at the Capitol. It will be intercession. In between sessions, there's nothing happening at that point. We hope to have a very good turnout. And I believe there are probably some independent groups that I'll meet with that will do the same over the summer or into the fall. And we'll build on the network. Our biggest – right now I'm trying to set up a meeting with Jeff Hoover. He's aware that I'm trying to get with him, and we're trying to work out a strategy for next year. Which starts in January, and I need his solid approval on that. And it also goes to the point of expanding his leadership base. And we're just sitting on pins and needles waiting for HB 279 to be signed by the governor or not signed so it'll become law.
It is very exciting. I know that's we've been praying about that and love, we're keeping an eye on it. But at this point, basically, it's going to become law because whether he signs it or not. So, right? I mean, that's
pretty much. If he vetoes it even, he's just one of those people. He's just one of those people who would say he's a Christian and defines liberty a different way. And he's got a track record of doing that. And that's why I was curious about that whole thing. How does it get started? And, I just hate to see our group polluted by it, but at this point we're not. Our group is not. Our group seems to be pretty much on the same page, even with the leadership, Chairman Jeff Hoover. But you've got the governor who's I'm looking here in Infusionsoft, and I know he's a partner, national partner, as well as on the list of those who get mail. His office corresponded with me yesterday wanting to know how we understood that there was going to be a tally for or against people calling in, and how we knew that that was a tally for or against this bill. I thought it was a rather odd question.
He called you?
It was an email response. It was an executive. Wow. His executive secretary corresponded with me just by email, just a quick question, cordial question. You know, who suggested that this tally was for or against this bill? And I'm going, that's really kind of a dumb question, but I mean, when you have a phone number that both people are calling opposing sides and the people on the phone are telling you that they're recording the information, I felt like he was disconnected a little bit from what was really going on and maybe asking to find out how much we knew, because the governor probably is weighing heavily on public opinion and may want to know how many people really are against or supportive of. So I don't know. In other words, we have a governor who's at least, yes, we'll probably get a veto. If he vetoes it, the senators and representatives we've spoken to are poised and ready to override the veto. It was 90% of the House passed it, 80% of the Senate. It was overwhelming. So it would be an act of great deception not to see it passed ultimately into law. So that's what we're waiting for. And I don't, you know, the governor's not up for reelection, so he's maybe feeling a little bolder than normal, but we'll see what kind of political maneuver gets pulled here. Still, you know, can't count your everything until it's done.
Right. Now, you've been really active as far as communicating with your database. Have you found that literally weekly updates or continual updates on what's going on, have you found that to be effective? Are people responding? Are they?
Yes. For every email we send out with 300 people that actually get it out of the 600 on the list, problem number one, our database is woefully out of date, even a year old, or it's got a lot of duplications, or we just don't know who all's on it. We've not spent that kind of time on it yet. That's one of our big agendas between Carol and I, is to look and go back into city by city and have watchmen in every city confirm numbers and addresses for us so we can know who's who. That's something we want to do this summer. Out of each one of those mailings, I might get a half a dozen that write back, say, good job, thanks a lot, really excited, good to see movement, especially in the beginning when we started sending them out. It was as if, you know, they were glad to see the baby born. You know, they were seeing something happening, people praying. That really encouraged people. And I have told that to the legislators. We meet with them one more time next Monday. Monday and Tuesday are the last 2 days of our 30-day session this year. We'll meet with them to pray Monday and hopefully have another meeting with Jeff at that point. We'll see.
Okay. I know as far as the communication goes, I know you've had one gentleman that said is actually a gay Christian father that found out about what's happening and then has now mobilized the homosexual community to contact the governor to vote against or veto this religious liberty legislation. My point in mentioning it is that when we do communicate, it helps to highlight who we need to not get our emails so we can be praying, but also to make sure that, you know, the information is getting in the right hands. So Mike and I did remove his email, and that's what I'm always saying, that we will be able to recognize or identify people in our database that are going to be using our information against us. So communication, regular communication with the database is good enough in that sense.
Yes, that's probably, for now, it's a good idea. I in the long range, I really would like to have a little bit of dialogue. I don't think it'll go anywhere, but somehow to have a position that's strong enough to be able to come back graciously to these folks and say, we define love differently. You know, it's all about the depth. I think it was Tony Perkins, his definition of love. Maybe he was referring to someone else in something he said. But that's an issue of these people really do feel that we're being discriminatory and unloving as Christians. And they characterize themselves as Christian homosexuals. And that's just how far it goes with the degeneration of truth or deception. And it starts, I believe, for the redefinition of Christian liberty, because that removes the Bible, that removes the biblical interpretation, and removes the authority, and allows people to find things on their own. So at some point, I guess we probably will have more dialogue with folks like that, and I want to be ready and have the right answer. I don't expect them to agree.
Yeah, that's good. Appreciate you.
Just something you were talking about, who knows the subject to. A funny thing has happened here where there's Interfaith. It's a group extremely liberal, and I have tried to get their female list several times, and for some reason they just don't want to send me this email.
Well, and that's just as well. Just know this one blessed thing you have to read. But I pity our, and I'm sorry for our governor. He was raised by a primitive Baptist father who was a lay minister, and his uncle was a lay minister. His grandfather was a lay minister. This is a rather conservative bunch of people in Kentucky. He, however, grew up when he went up to school and obviously just determined his own way concerning defining liberty and defining the Bible and how it impacted his life. And I don't know him personally, but we know several that do. And I'm just watching this trend, you know, and I'm interested to see. I don't want to see this kind of redefining going on with our own troop, if I can help it.
Well, that's great. I love that you're going to be cleaning up the database and really trying to identify who's in there, and then also building it based on those that you know to be like-minded. So we really love that you're taking the time to do that, and we're happy to help as much as possible with that as well. Most of the people that are in there were the list that were invited to the event. So that is a general list of legislators, citizens in the area based on pastors, leaders, different ones, but sometimes you do, you know, get different ones. And whoever came to the Capitol filled out a state form card, that information was inputted. So that's where with input. So that's where we have the information has come from.
Wouldn't it be appropriate at some point to contact each one of these people and ask them if they would respond, if they still want to be on the list, and if they don't respond, you know, after a couple of opportunities to try, we just simply take them off the list, because we really do want people that are interested. We don't want to waste their time, and we do want people that are also sympathetic.
I would send a couple of emails just in case people miss the first one. But I think that's a great idea.
We'll work on a plan. We just wanted to clean it up and expand it, really.
Yeah.
And in doing that, gain some contacts that'll hopefully help things to be launched a little more in depth in the state. Around. Go ahead.
No, that's great. That's great. You all are doing a great job in your states, and again, we're just here to support as we can. Beth, I wanted to give you a little bit more time to go into anything that you wanted to discuss. You have about 12 minutes left. And so I wanted to be sure that you had time to just have time.
Okay, that's great. You know, we've been just crazy busy here with a liberal agenda that is just killing us. The House and the Senate both passed a civil unions bill without a religious liberties exemption even for adoption, and the governor is going to sign it. And then, of course, all the gun bills here that have made national news. But they're also doing death penalty is this year. We already, sanctuary cities are going to be set up this year for illegal immigrants. There is a personhood bill that they're calling it that. But... it's basically against fetal homicide is what the Democrats are, and they're putting it out there. But in the whole time, from conception to birth, it is a fetus. It is not never referred to as a child. And so, you know, even though those aren't our issues, it's our people. that are going to be involved in that. And then the other thing, too, is we're getting just absolutely slammed with stuff in the office, which even now that I have more volunteers, it's still kind of a nonstop event. And it's frustrating because I want to be out there doing stuff with churches and pastors, and God keeps saying, no, you need to be at the Capitol for now. And I'm like, oh, okay. So learning to accept that direction from God has been a little difficult. We always have a Pastors and Church Leaders Day. It basically runs through the Family Action, I can't remember what it is now, Colorado Family Action is part, it's an offshoot of Focus. They've always funded it in the past. Well, we're doing something very different this year. We've been trying to get the Catholics and the Protestants in the same room together, and we're pulling it off. And Jessica had her Catholic out, who's in charge of that here in Colorado, is just taking all the reins. She is doing everything for me this year. And so we're putting it totally under her name, but the Prayer Caucus then can come and just be a sponsoring organization. And, you know, we're there on the short list. But this year it will be a brunch. It is going to be meeting at the Knights of Columbus. And we have 250 seats. And I just went blank on the speaker's name. National Syndicated radio host is coming in to do it. And the Archdiocese here has told all of the first-year priests they have to. It's mandatory to go to this event. And so that is just really exciting. Hugh Hewitt, that's who's coming. And they have a brunch, and they have sponsors to pay to cover all of this, which is just absolutely incredible. And the Archdiocese also sent out a letter just as before this last Sunday that they when it's read in every Mass on Sunday across the state about the civil unions bill and the lack of conscious amendment added to it. And so they are just I didn't know too much about our new archdiocese, but I guess he is very politically astute, and so I'm anxious to meet him as well. And so now we have to convince some pastors who won't step foot in a Catholic environment to basically get off their high horses and come and support them. Because this is just such a unique opportunity we have. So that's kind of where that'll be our big thing, and it's going to be the first week of May. And again, Citizen Link is helping with this. They're doing a bunch of the calling, updating lists with pertinent information. So, and they're all doing it for me and saying, Beth, don't worry, you've got your plate full. These women are just wonderful. And so that's coming up, and of course, National Day of Prayer. And the whole Colorado Day of Prayer will happen, but I do not believe there will be a proclamation from the governor this year since that lawsuit still isn't settled. That's kind of where we're at with that.
Well, we will continue to be praying. It sounds like you guys are moving forward full speed ahead. We've continued to pray for strength for the Prayer Caucus members and for you. So we'll continue to do that. Thank you very, very much for your update. I just wanted to give a quick update of Iowa. Jenny is moving forward, just had some amazing opportunities and appointments of people that are and wanting to get involved that are have lists of every church in the state that they're willing to hand off, people that are willing, that have been a part of large fundraising projects, and they're willing to come alongside to help. She said prayer yesterday, there was about 50 in the Capitol that joined bipartisan. It was a bipartisan prayer effort, and that many are encouraged. She said so many people were coming up to her afterwards just expressing how encouraged they are to see this, and they said they genuinely feel the peace and presence of the Lord and are just so grateful to see this forming. So she is very busy this week with meetings and trying to coordinate and raise funds for this Prayer Caucus launch on April 16th so we can keep her in prayer. And then, as I mentioned, North Carolina is hosting a huge prayer event today. The actual Prayer Caucus is at the state capitol today. And they're continuing to pray together and also strategize for this year and for the next year. Oklahoma also, she's continuing to move forward, and she's trying to forge relationships with key contacts like the Attorney General and other senators that she knows could be helpful in fulfilling the mission. So she's getting a lot of support from those that maybe didn't know about the Prayer Caucus or wanted more information, and so the Attorney General's office is receiving correspondence from us and are very supportive of the effort, so there'll be more communication as time goes on. And then, Leah, would you give a quick update on Virginia? And I know we're just to have a few minutes left.
Yes, absolutely. I had a chance to talk with Delegate Cosgrove, who's the chairman in Virginia, and they've had 2 years of very contentious legislative assemblies, but he really feels like now's the moment to go ahead and move forward on the Prayer Caucus. They're going to start, they have three co-chairs, and they're going to start meeting together and praying and really moving things forward. They're sending out a letter to all the members and of the thing and inviting them again to reaffirm their commitment to the Prayer Caucus. And we also have a citizen now in Richmond that is potentially going to maybe be able to host a prayer time weekly in the Capitol. And we actually have somebody who said he could get us a room in the Capitol for them to pray every week. And so that's encouraging. Things seem to be coming together for them. I know Roger has had a difficult time. He's not in Richmond, and so it's challenging for him to actually be engaged in the assembly. So we're talking with Roger about how he might be able to, you know, help us outside the Capitol, but we maybe need somebody that's near the Capitol to engage the legislators. But I think they're very encouraged. The one thing that's encouraging is that I think there were six pieces of pro-religious liberty legislation that was proposed this last General Assembly, and I'm not sure what the tally is, but I know at least one very important piece went through and is in front of the governor now. Is that correct, Summer?
There's actually two right now, we know of for sure, yeah.
Okay, so we're really, really encouraged that they have some very positive legislation. We're barely, barely holding on in conservatives. It's actually tied to the Senate, but the lieutenant governor is a Christian, and he keeps casting that vote to just put it over the edge. So it's still a difficult time for them, but they're really, really trusting in this, that they'll be able to move some things forward, and this Prayer Caucus will play a big part in helping the bipartisan bickering going on. So very encouraging in Virginia as well.
Great. Great. Thank you. We have just a couple of minutes left. I wanted to make a housekeeping comment. The accountant will be providing, or the bookkeeper will be providing a weekly, they will be providing reports to each of you as funding comes in. So a report will be sent only if there's a change, whether there be a deposit or if a reimbursement is processed for you. So that just want to let you know that there will be reports sent as there is a change in the financial situation of your Prayer Caucus. Other than that, let's any final comments, thoughts, or questions? Okay. Well, I did record the call. I feel like this was very important information, and I will be sending it to the state directors so we can, you know, continue to think about and process what's been said. And then also we'll be sending out notes let's take just a few minutes to pray. Mike, would you please pray for us?
Yes, I will. Father, thank you for calling us and for choosing us and for using us and for equipping us to the task that you've given us to do in the government, in state and national levels. And I thank you, Father, that these are strategic times and we're aware of it. You made us aware of it. We thank you for your Holy Spirit moving powerfully through each of us. Father, we cannot do this job without your support, without your presence. So we just thank you for going right now before us to bring the support necessary in every state, the finances in Colorado, the finances in Ohio, the finances in Kentucky, everywhere it's required and necessary, exactly what we need, and even more, Father. We rely on you and your direction. We thank you for increasing our wisdom and what we're supposed to do and how to do it. We thank you for blessing the things that you put on our hearts to do and giving us the courage and strengthening us, Lord, to do what you want us to do and be not to be fearful or to shrink back. We thank you for that boldness that you're bringing to us in these times. And we thank you, Lord God, for the national movement for religious liberty, for our leadership, for Leah Summer and Randy Forbes and others that are involved on the national level. We thank you for going before and behind them, whether to Arizona or to whatever parts of the end of America they're taken to. Thank you for using them mightily, good God. And each of us, in your holy name, we just bless you for your presence in our lives.
May we please pray for Beth in North Carolina event and Jenny's meetings, and just as a closing?
Yes, Father, we do lift up these people and these events that are just faithfully stewarding the time and the resources and the opportunity and the influence that you have given them. Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit would lead them. We ask that you would surprise them, Lord, with moves by your power that they didn't even expect. Father, we ask specifically, Lord, that you would strengthen, encourage, and fill each of these people, the state directors, the chairman, and all the volunteers, that the legislators, Lord, that you would fill them, the citizens that participate, you would fill them with your Holy Spirit, and that you would pour out, Lord Jesus. And we ask that they would really, really experience the love of God that just pours out, and it would flow from them to everyone, every appointment, every opportunity they have. And Lord, we also pray for the power of God, that it would flow in them and through them, the Holy Spirit, that we would be, that each of these people, Lord, would be an example and would be standing in the gap, and that would be bringing the kingdom of God to the kingdom of earth, Lord, that your will be done just as it is in heaven. Father, we thank you for these opportunities, and we praise you. Strengthen these folks, Lord, in Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Well, we are so grateful for you all, and we just say great job, and we appreciate you so much and everything that you're doing, and we trust that the Lord is going to make a way and just bless you abundantly for your faithfulness. I know someday you'll be able to see what all your efforts, the difference that your efforts made. You can see some now, but there are more than you can even think or imagine. So we just appreciate you and look forward to connecting again soon. If you have any questions or anything in the meantime, definitely feel free to contact us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bless you.